Hello, you're tuned into Justice Radio. I am AJ Stash. Last month, our co-host Hawa Muhammad and Cade Johnson interviewed Stephanie and Ulrich from the Community Relief Fund. Together as Healing First, we are co-hosting this monthly episode on Justice Radio. Today, we'll be speaking with Tyreek and Mags, who are folks involved in the mental health and consumer movement, and our peers. They were formerly involved in the Youth Peer Support Statewide Network in Maine. So I would love to know a little bit about who we all are, how you came into this work, and also how do you integrate your identity into your work?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Hi, my name is Mags. I originally found peer support through working as an advocate for sexual assault response services and feeling like there was not a real, you know, there was always a helper and a helpee, and there was not a level playing field when it came to like care work. And I stumbled into peer support, which was a big part of my identity. I identify with someone who has mental health challenges and has navigated the mental health system in many different ways, both forcibly and volunteered by my own doing, and came to peer support because I found like-minded people who, where we all were coming from, this mutuality in this space where we shared this thing of having challenges, maybe identifying as being disabled, identifying with mental health challenges, and trying to build community in that way. I was running the Youth Peer Support Statewide Network until it closed in 2024. And I'm a peer support specialist. And yeah, that's me.
Well, I'm Tyreek. I got involved with the peer support, but I was actually in a crisis unit, and one of the therapists there introduced me to this program, the Youth Peer Network. And so I got involved that way. And I'm a person who identifies with mental health challenges and disabilities. And I'm sorry.
You're so good.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
That's a lot of, you've said a lot. Is there something I can jog your memory with?
I don't know.
So Tyreek and I first met through peer support. I was actually Tyreek's peer, and we built a peer relationship over a couple years and are still friends and good friends.
Very good friends.
So, but our relationship started via peer support and connecting on maneuvering the mental health system and the different ways that peer support shows up for mental health. It's different than I think what westernized medicine thinks mental support should look like.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely the westernized medicine world, I think very much frowns on the idea of like not having hierarchy, like that part that you mentioned about the not level playing field with support, like they love the not level playing field.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty special that things like this exist, and that's so cool that y'all are like became friends out of the peer relationship. And I'm sure that that's like a really cool way to like build a friendship on something that is so grounded in care work and showing up for each other. Yeah, so I'd love to hear from you, Mags, about peer support more and the consumer movement behind it, if you wouldn't mind sharing just a little bit more info with us.
Yeah, so peer support in a way comes out of kind of Vermont. It's called Intentional Peer Support. It's a program that was kind of in a training that was kind of built by this person, Sherry Mead, which kind of came out of the psychiatric survivors movement. So it's folks who are interacting with hospitalizations, forced hospitalizations, people who were basically being forced to get mental health treatment, whether they wanted it or not. And this comes out of the disability rights movement. This comes out of a lot of different spaces, but really the consumer rights psychiatric survivor movement is one that has kind of taken on a lot of different, like come from a lot of different pathways, but it is really rooted in like the idea that folks who have mental health experiences should be able to have autonomy and choose their own pathways and choose their own care and choose how they understand themselves and how they build community or build the care that they need, opposed to how we know it, which is if you are in any way seen as unwell or you have mental health challenges, you should be locked away in a hospital. You need to be controlled. You need to be forced to move into things. So intentional peer support was supposed to be, was built to be this other framework. I was trained in intentional peer support to be a peer. It's all over the world. It also integrates with things like the Hearing Voices Network, which is a whole network that shows up for what is another way and what is a way to understand folks who are hearing voices or seeing things. It also kind of correlates with groups like Alternatives to Suicide, which is a framework of talking about things like suicide where it's not policed and it's not made into a problem that needs to be solved. It's actually an experience that people have. And intentional peer support kind of brings all that stuff together. Pulls from like native cultures. There's, in New Zealand, Maori culture is to really talk about openly what it's like to have mental health experiences. There are many cultures who see hearing voices or having experiences like that as being something that's really like important to community, important to the spaces that we inhabit. So there's a lot of things pulling into what I'm trained in intentional peer support and where we connected at first. But lots of people did so many things to try to move forward and get people out of hospitals and give people the autonomy to be able to choose the care that they want, opposed to have it forced upon them. And yeah, I could definitely list a lot of names of people who have come before me who have made it such a beautiful movement that we're still pushing forward today, still not really seen and widely, I think, accepted that folks with mental health challenges can and should and are able to figure out how to move through the world in a way that feels good for them.
Love that. Yeah, thank you for sharing about that. It sounds like this work is really grounded in autonomy and also making people's experiences, like making people feel seen and heard for their experiences and with their experiences. And yeah, like not trying to keep people quiet about like what they're experiencing, but like really bringing out in the open like the reality that, people face with mental health challenges and that it's not something to be shamed for or be afraid of, but actually like be met with a lot of love and care and validity.
There's like a big part of intentional peer support as a whole is really just like curiosity. Are there pathways where we can be curious about each other? There's kind of these like four pivotal pieces of IPS and curiosity, like mutuality is one of that, where you're building a relationship with another person about all of the pieces of who they are, not just the ones that you're allowed to have in the light and that the ones that should be shamed. But yeah, it is a lot of it is curiosity. And I think also kind of trying to move away from a fear approach around mental health, like you spoke to that a little bit. Being able to hold fear, it being something that can be present in relationships, something that's like there for us to talk about, to show up for, to be able to show to other people. I have conversations with Tyreek that I can't have with people I've known my whole life because we started our relationship in this very open-minded, let's try to understand each other, build neutrality, be curious about one another, and be curious about ourselves and build a relationship through that. So if I'm having a really hard day, Tyreek's often a person I can just talk to about it because that fear is not as present in our relationship, I would say.
That's so lovely. I love curiosity. It's one of my favorite things.
It's the best thing.
It's such a good thing. So I'd love to hear from you, Tyreek, about what do you envision for the future and what is your idea of a beloved community?
What I envision for the future is that I like hope there would be more spaces where people can come together who are struggling to kind of unite and like lean on each other and have fun, like just a space to be yourself and not be judged, because like we live in a world where there's often a lot of judging and we just need spaces where we can feel free to be ourselves. And one of the things that would be cool that could happen is a thing called peer respites, where people can come and just a space to be and have like staff on to talk to and stuff, but not be so clinical and feeling like in prison, like hospitals and stuff, psychiatric hospitals and stuff. Like, I think that would be pretty cool. Anything you would like to add?
What was the question again? I got lost in your answer. I'm sorry.
Is a beautiful answer.
Was. I was like, yeah, I'll go to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, right? Like those respite spaces. I mean, I just like the word respite in itself, right? It's like a place of healing and care and a place to like rest. And I love that, there is this envisioning to have those places where people can go and not be subjected to like a clinical environment or have any kind of threat of being judged in a very specific way that will then, bring them into potentially the justice system or the legal system, because so many people are in who have mental health stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about if you break down the how we work with folks in mental health crisis, they're interacting with police all the time. When we think about someone in crisis, often person people's first inclination is to call the cops on them. When you call crisis in the state of Maine, in every state, when you call crisis to get support, you can get a wellness checkup done on you. Like they will call the cops to come and get you. And so interacting with the police is a very common occurrence for so many people, including folks with mental health experiences. And it's not given any, that taking an escalated situation and having someone approach it who has a gun, a weapon, and a history in a present day of intense, horrifying violence towards people that they're supposedly trying to help. It is a really, it's just not, it doesn't make any sense to be having police come to mental health crisis situations or folks who are in really escalated mental health situations. It creates violent experiences. It creates forcing people into psychiatric care. It also creates imprisoning people into the prison system because they're having a mental health crisis. There's a lot of misunderstanding of what it looks like to show up to a mental health crisis. A big foundation of what I was saying in IPS, connection is one of the like core pieces that we use, and you cannot connect to someone if you're coming at them to control them, to stop them from having their feelings, and you cannot connect with someone if you're coming to show up to support somebody, you have a weapon on your hip and you're there to police them. That's not how we show up for folks in mutual aid, and it's not how we show up for folks in mental health crisis. Oftentimes there is scarcity happening when folks are in those crisis moments. So coming to them in a violent way doesn't make any sense and isn't really connecting the whole kind of foundation of how we show up for mental health, and how we show up for folks who are going through mental health is super based on control, and that these folks are a problem to be solved. I know that that's how I've experienced mental health care in many, many ways, both when I was young and now. So trying to have systems and ways of showing up for people that are super different, I think are super necessary.
Definitely. Yeah. We'll be taking a short break. You're tuned into Justice Radio, where we're speaking with Tyreek and Mags. I'm AJ Stash. Yeah, this piece about control, I think, is so important to be talking about, because that is something that is a piece of the culture that is like really ingrained in a lot of different things that abolition in a whole is trying to like move beyond, is trying to control each other. And I know, like, for myself, like it's been a journey to like even unlearn that part of me that is like, telling myself that like, you have to fix these things within yourself, and trying to like grasp at that control. I feel like that those systems really impact us all in that way. And I'm wondering, like, how do you see folks moving beyond like that kind of thinking? Like, what's something that has been helpful for you in trying to move beyond that way of thinking about control?
I'm so curious what you would say to this.
And accumulating thoughts, because this is a very good question. Well, I feel like a lot within the mental health system is focusing on so much about changing the person rather than like helping them improve themselves and just make their quality of life overall better. And I just think we need to focus more on, instead of changing a person's qualities and stuff, I don't know, just find ways to work with the person to make their quality of life better. Like, what do they want, like, for their life? Like, what are their goals? Like, just those types of questions, and helping them reach those goals. Like, I know we have some things like that, but like in like hospitals and police systems, like they're just too focused on changing the problem rather than making their life better. And I think things would be more effective if they made the quality of life better rather than changing the problem behavior so much, you know?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, things would be so much better if we just actually showed up for people
Yeah.
to opposed to saying there's something wrong with you. I'm like,
Yeah.
actually, we're living in a structure that's there's a lot of wrongdoing and violence and
Very
hard things
wrong.
happening, and it is hard to go to the grocery store, and it is hard to make ends meet, and it's hard to pay for rent. There's a movement called like the Mad Pride movement and like the Mad movement, and I not everybody loves the word mad. I do love the word mad, but everyone in kind of community does feel differently about it, which is super super valid. But this idea that it's like it's wild to think that people aren't like mad and just infuriated by the systems that we're living in and the oppression that folks are living with every single day. To kind of add to your answer, I think that to move out of like this system of control is, I think, to move out of this like kind of system of fear. And I think that happens interpersonally when two people are connecting. And I'm saying this is the scariest thing that I can think of. Will you sit with me and hold it with me? Will you be present? We don't have to fix it. We're not going to do anything about it. I think that our society and our culture has a really, really, we're really uncomfortable being uncomfortable. And sitting with fear is really uncomfortable. IPS, intentional peer support, is the practice. It's sitting with fear, it's sitting with discomfort, and it's saying, I can't fix this thing for you, but I'm like here to be with you in it. I'm here to be curious about it and understand it. I'm here to connect with you. So I think it happens. How we change this culture of control is it happens interpersonally. It happens how we talk to one another, how we build relationship, how we show up for each other. Not being so afraid we can't fix the problem, but just showing up. And I think it also happens when you double that over and you build on that and build on that. One of the reasons like violence happens via the state is we go, this person, I'm afraid of what this person did or what this person is going to do or what this person could do. So I'm going to control this person. I'm going to lock them up in a hospital. I'm going to lock them up in prison. So if we double over that, what does it look like for our communities as a whole to sit with fear? To sit with this idea that like we can't always control every bad thing from happening. What if we showed up to it honestly? What if we all named our fears? You know, the scariest thing to me is a terrified person with a gun, which is what I see as often our police force in this country, and what I've seen when I've shown up in mental health situations and tried to just be honest about the things I'm afraid of and the things that are happening for me and the people around me looking at me and being terrified of me, that they can't control me or that I might do something that they don't want me to do. And so I think that interpersonal moment that happens so often for all of us is really just like quadrupled on this larger scale. And I think really trying to sit with discomfort as a community and show up to like what that feels like for us, and build systems that support what it looks like to hold that is kind of what we need to move away from control and just move towards, which is one of the foundations of IPS, kind of moving towards just like connecting with each other and showing up for each other.
I love that. I got shivers when you said, "Will you sit with me in it? You don't have to do anything about it, but like I'm here." Just got shivers. So, yeah, that's lovely. I think that's a really good segue into like talking about, so then what does like meaningful justice look like to you? Because, you know, we understand like the context of these systems that enact violence toward folks in mental health crisis and with mental health needs and need for care. So what would like meaningful justice look like instead of a system like that?
You want to go first?
Yeah. So meaningful justice, I think meaningful justice looks like, for me anyways, is just we're in a community, like we support people who are struggling and just working together as a community. I think we just help people become the better versions of themselves and just support them from getting to their goals and stuff instead of just having to fix everything. I don't think fixing everything means justice. I think instead of just getting stuck in the problem, we just support one another and give each other resources and help where we can. And I think that is like really the true meaning of justice, like lifting up one another and just going from there and just being there and being authentic with one another. And yeah. Would you like to add anything?
The authenticity point as
Yeah.
well, with really giving each other room to be our authentic selves
Yeah.
is so important. Yeah, I think I'll add, I feel like you got the like the feeling of it and like what the words. I'm like, yes, that's good. That's the wordsmithing. I think on the structural side, we need more options for mental health care. We need spaces for people to go. We need folks to be able to have living wages. We need folks to be able to have a place to live. There's a LD 1843 is a bill in the legislature that I think is a move-in that is to establish two peer respite centers in the state of Maine. We don't have any in the state of Maine. It is they're made to be peer run. The closest one we have is in Massachusetts, which is really cool. It's called AFIA. People should check it out by the Wildflower Alliance. But we don't have any in the state of Maine. We had one a while ago, but we don't. So a place to go that's a voluntary place to go for folks. We need to get rid of involuntary treatment and forcing people into hospitals. We need to create ways to show up for mental health crisis that is meeting folks where they're at, not pushing them into a system that does not work for everybody. If that system works for you, great, get into it. There's avenues, but we don't have enough options for folks to get mental health care. You know, it is hard to find a therapist these days. It's hard to be able to get and build the care you want. It's expensive and it's time consuming. And there's a lot of pitfalls and a lot of ways that folks get pushed out of the system or forced into the system in a way that they don't want. So a lot more options for folks, more peer centers, more places that are run by folks who experience mental health. Run by folks who know what those feelings are like, and run by folks who are willing to be uncomfortable for sure.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm just like, that you said, Tyreek, about the true meaning of justice is lifting up one another. I feel like that should be, I don't know, it should be something, a bumper sticker, a tattoo, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe
Can we do
it could be like
that? We should.
matching tattoos. True meaning of justice is lifting up
We have
one
not done that yet.
another.
We have not done that. We have talked about
Yeah, we've talked about it for sure.
That could be like a lovely poster too, just or like, you know, something maybe in one of these respite centers, like as to have as like a value. Yeah, it's really, really lovely. Yeah, you both mentioned like people having access to resources is so important because like without access to what folks need, it makes it even harder to like survive with the things that are going on internally, let alone the things that you have to go through with the external world and all of the barriers in our society and in capitalism. So screw that. Resources.
Resources,
Yeah.
resources, resources.
Resources, resources, resources. I love it. Do y'all have any specific calls to action that you'd like to name?
We named the open some peer respite.
Yeah,
Have
definitely
places
be a
that
respite.
aren't hospitals.
Yeah.
Like the basement of Main Med is not helping. I just feel like forcing people into hospitals can work for some folks. I'm never gonna say I'm never gonna yuck someone's yum, but what I've experienced a lot is that forcing people to move towards things is not the way to help people. So, I mean, I would lift up places like Common Space, that's a peer center locally in Portland. Check out LD 1843, the bill to open some respites. Check out IPS, check out Intentional Peer Support. They're online. We do trainings. I last year got to do the train the trainer, where we're training to like do the training for these things. But check out that website, learn a little bit about Sherry Mead. Check out like the Hearing Voices Network. Alt to Suicide was kind of coined, I think, by the Wildflower Alliance. They kind of built out this really cool group where folks get to talk about suicidality and experiences in suicide, which is often very frowned upon in our mental health system. So check out some of those wicked cool places. Go to a group, go to a peer group. Yeah, check it out is what my call to action would be. Learn more about it. It's a very, I would say, quieted often movement, which is pretty ableist, as far as folks, things that come out of the disability movement is often, I would say, like, not seen as widely, which is sad. So learn a little bit about it. Check it out. Learn about peer support. Yeah, I think DHHS runs the Intentional Peer Support program that's in the state of Maine, and it is a free training if folks want to take it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you both so much for coming on to Justice Radio. It was so lovely to chat with you both and have you here. And with thanks to bluesman Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series, and to Aaron Pyle, our sound engineer, we are Justice Radio.
Yay.
Thank you.